John McCain accuses Obama of playing the race card. Obama's team says McCain is playing gutter-style politics. Has the campaign for the White House taken a nasty, negative turn? Joining us today are Rob Redding, publisher of the Redding News Review, an online news site, and Anthony Bradley, creator of the Institute blog. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
We'll get to the latest antics from the campaigns in just a few minutes, but first I'd like to get your reaction to the conversation that I just had with Diop Olubala from Uhuru Movement. He and some other protesters, as we said, held a banner that read, "What about the black community?" What did you think of what you saw and heard and his explanation of their behavior today, Anthony?
Well, one of the things that I noticed immediately is that this Uhuru movement is interestingly out of touch with the campaign. Barack Obama is not running for the presidency of black America. He's running for the presidency of the United States of America. And as such, he's compelled to speak about the broad issues that affect America at large. I mean, this is an organization that supports the African People's Socialist Party and has on their website that Barack Obama is white power in blackface. And we could understand that this is a movement that is on the extreme. And if our brothers had listened to Barack's speech at the Urban League on Saturday, many of their issues that were raised in the last segment, Barack Obama addressed specifically. So he is in touch with those issues, but they certainly weren't in the ways in which the Uhuru movement unnecessarily thought he should have said them.
Rob, what do you say? Do you feel that there is a backlash brewing here against Obama from the standpoint of his perhaps not appearing to appeal enough to the issues that black people are concerned about?
There has been for some time. I'm surprised it's taken this long. And let me just say, Ralph Nader somewhere smiling because he said that Barack Obama is not dealing with the problems of black people in the inner city. And that's exactly what these men are talking about. What I found interesting about the town hall out in St. Pete, and I believe that's where it happened, I think what was interesting about that is the fact that Barack Obama never answered the Katrina question. Now, the Urban League speech came after the St. Pete appearance. Actually, it came several appearances after that. So we can't really say that, you know, he addressed those issues just or they should listen to that speech because that comes after. In addition to that, I think what's interesting about Barack Obama and his platform, he is advocating stuff for gays. He's advocating stuff for Jews. But the question that these young men are asking and what the black community has been asking for some time on talk radio is, you know, it's great that we're going to have this upstanding guy who loves his wife, who loves his kids, but what about us? What about our issues?
Well, let me see if we can get your line cleaned up a little bit, Rob. But I'm told we can't, so we'll just have to live with it, unfortunately. Maybe it'll straighten itself out as we go along. Let's move on to
Tony, can I add one point?
Sure, go ahead.
You know, it's important to understand that Barack Obama, between now and November, cannot spook blue-collar white Americans. And it is important for him in his campaign to say the kinds of things that are not going to spook that constituent that supported Hillary Clinton. Barack Obama must sound broad. He must sound general. He must talk about America in general because the latest polls that came out today show that McCain and Obama are in a dead heat. And if he begins to speak about black this or black that, he's going to lose some leverage in the polls.
You know, it's an interesting point that you make. I don't want to dwell on it, but let me just say from a historical standpoint, Tom Bradley ran for the governor of California back in the 80s, and it was a tight race, very similar to this. But what happened to him was there was an assumption that the black community would come out in force to support him, which it did not do, in part because there was a sense that he had pandered to the other side, so to speak, to a larger extent than was necessary, and it cost him the election. So there is a danger, is there not, for Barack Obama, a very fine line that he has to walk?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a danger. I think that what he has to do, though, is he has to pander just like he's pandered to the gay vote. He has to pander just like he's pandered to the Jewish vote, and he's got to pander for the black vote. And what he's got to do is he's got to address and speak to the issues that black people in this country are concerned about. Now, if we're going to get a black president, the question is what is the black community going to get out of this? I disagree. I think if he's going to change his position on gas, then he can change his position on some of these other issues that relate to the black community.
All right, last week in rural Mississippi, Senator Obama told a crowd that the GOP would try to scare voters by questioning his, quote, funny name and by pointing out that he doesn't, quote, look like those other presidents on those dollar bills. The McCain campaign lashed out very quickly, saying, quote, Obama has played the race card and he played it from the bottom of the deck. And just today, former President Bill Clinton made a similar claim. That he repeated a claim, actually, that he made back in April after he faced criticism for remarks about Senator Obama's South Carolina primary win. So my question is this. I'll come to you first, Rob. Clinton insisted in a recent ABC News interview, quote, that he is not a racist. Has this issue, this racial issue, become more or less a third rail in American politics?
Oh, it's always been, and it's just back. It's rearing its ugly head again. One of the things that you were talking about, the election out in California, one of the things we saw is that we saw that white people did not support where they said in public they were going to support Bradley, and they didn't support him. So this is nothing new. This is just the same old politics as we've always seen in America. That's one of the reasons why Tavis Smiley says he doesn't think that Barack Obama is electable. I'm not sure whether I agree with that just because he's black. I think we've come a long way, but have we come far enough? That's the question. It's no doubt historic for him to be the presumptive nominee at this point, but the question is whether he can get elected. So I think that Bill Clinton's comments are interesting. Bill Clinton even said, I believe, in that interview that he would have said more if he were allowed to. He regrets that he didn't. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, yeah, it's a third rail. That's the reason why Barack Obama likes to talk about being black, but he doesn't like to talk about issues that affect black people, from what I've observed so far.
Is this going to derail him? Could this derail him, Anthony?
It probably won't derail him. I mean, whoever decides to play their race card will be burned by it. I think a lot of American voters are very skittish and tired of the kinds of racial rhetoric that malign campaigns like this. It was a nasty campaign between Clinton and Obama in the primary. And I think what could happen is this could actually derail us from speaking about the kinds of issues that we need to be talking about. And as the campaign turns more nasty, more personal, we're going to get distracted by the kinds of issues that we need to address, and we'll still be in the kinds of messes that we find ourselves in today.
Interesting point that you're making. And to follow up with that, last Friday, an article in the Wall Street Journal raised the provocative question that Obama's slender physique may hurt him with an overweight electorate. Headline of that story was "Too Fit to Be President." Article saying 66% of the voting age population is overweight, 32% obese. Do you think, I'm going to follow with you, Anthony, I'll come back to you, Rob. Do you think that it's easier for Americans to connect with a quote-unquote fleshier candidate?
Well, I think the important distinction here is that Obama appears to be an elitist. And really, I mean, if he goes to Iowa and talks about Whole Foods, it's important for Americans to look at the president and ask the question, is this a regular guy like me? Does he eat hot dogs on the 4th of July? Does he order pizza when he doesn't feel like cooking? Does he eat Krispy Kreme donuts? Is he a regular guy like myself? And the fact that, you know, the Democrats aren't going to have any sort of Southern fried food at the convention, the fact that he's sort of the green candidate, for example, is raising some questions with a lot of people regarding whether or not Obama can connect to the average American person, which, by the way, is the person that supported Hillary Clinton. This is the voter who's in the Midwest in these key states.
So, Rob, it's not just about race, then, is it? It's about all these other things also.
Here's one of those issues that don't really matter. And I think that that's it's interesting not to lose perspective, and I think we are with this one. I saw the Wall Street Journal piece, which was horribly written. There was a blog item that was cited, and then there was someone who said that they had professed to be a Hillary Clinton supporter from before. There were two people quoted in that story. We had it on our website. One of the things that I think that's interesting about that is, one, I think that people will actually be more attracted to him because he doesn't look like them. He's kind of like the ideal person. He looks the part. He looks thin. He looks like he works out. The guy's a phenomenal basketball player. I think he couldn't be more American and more like what people aspire to be. That's the reason why they connect with Barack Obama. And I think what's the danger of the Wall Street Journal article blows us off the point that he is making a connection with normal people and their children.
Well, believe it or not, we have one topic that actually has nothing to do with Barack Obama, and we're going to talk about that in about the 2 minutes that we have left. It's this. On Friday, the judge hearing the case for five of the remaining Gina 6 defendants was removed from the case. He had called the defendants troublemakers and a violent bunch. A state district judge said Judge J.P. Moffrey Jr. could not be impartial in the case. When you heard about this, Anthony, what was your reaction?
My first reaction was actually one of celebration. I was glad they removed him because a judge's job is to ensure that the facts in the case match the charges. And a biased judge will allow bad evidence. They won't sustain good objections on cross-examination. They won't allow the defense to represent their clients well to the jury. And the judge controls the information in the room that the jury is going to use to deliberate. And if a judge has a biased disposition toward the defendants, he needs to be removed because he won't be able to adjudicate the case in a fair manner.
Anthony, I have about 30 seconds left for you to answer this. And the question is, do you think now that this will make the playing field level enough to satisfy the people who are following this case?
Well, I hope so. We talked about a minute ago issues that were not important for this election. I think, race is a 400-year-old issue in this country, and that's the reason why this story is important. I think that this is an important move, and the district attorney who is fighting for the judge's reinstatement should be fired.
Rob and Anthony, I thank you both for being with us. That was
thank
Rob.
You, Tony. Thank you.
That was Rob Redding, publisher of the Redding News Review, an online news site. And we were also speaking with Anthony Bradley, creator of the Institute blog. He spoke with us from member station KWMU in St. Louis.